All right, so let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is a day that the Lord has made. You have made this day, and it is a good day. And I just thank you that that today, this, as the service starts, we can just set our hearts and our affections on you. We can pull on the gifts that you provide, the words that you provide, the things that we need to hear this morning. I thank you for the things that I can hear, even as I'm sharing, and that the things that you put on my heart to share and that I've prepared will come across in a way to help and give some benefit. And we just call it blessed this time together. Amen. So I was looking at breakthrough and the benefits of breakthrough and how to get to breakthrough. But also, as I was doing that, I had this picture of resistance. Because really, if you're going to break through something, it means you're facing resistance. You don't break through. You think of, oh, I broke through the wall. We took a wall, then we broke through it. There was something solid there, and so you need resistance to break through. So if I could, I'm going to get a volunteer. If I could have somebody that could provide some strong resistance. You don't have to do much of anything. Robert, come on up. And I'm going to give you this board to hold. Okay? So I used to do martial arts, so if you hold it on top and bottom like that and then try and curl your fingers in. And one of the things that was a big crowd pleaser was board breaking. And we did board breaking. It was something pretty low level kind of a thing. You could teach somebody to break a board pretty easily. But the key thing was not the person breaking the board. The key thing here, so if I was going to break the board, the real thing to ensure this board is going to break, first of all, it's pine. If you have oak, that'd be a problem, okay? Why don't we turn just a little bit this way so everybody can see just a little bit, and then we'll get that way, just like that. Thank you. But if Robert knows, he's done martial arts too, so he's got his arms locked in place. Okay? And so he knows how to hold it, to provide resistance. Now, if Robert was to bend his arms, or even not have two points of resistance, what if he was just to hold it with one hand? And I come up to try and break this board, to break through this resistance. It's not really providing enough resistance for a breakthrough. I can't break through this unless I have a certain level of skill to where my speed, my timing, everything is just perfect that I can break that. And, by the way, if the board has been altered, okay? So sometimes when they're doing demonstrations, they might even put a little cheat cut in the back of the board. We did a demonstration, and I actually did this to these boards, put them in the oven. Cook them for a little bit because they get dried out. They're more brittle. Okay? But even with that, if you don't have strong resistance, if your holder is not strong, if they can't hold up for that moment of resistance, then you're not going to be able to break through. Now, you might think when you come up, and if you think of this as an analogy, this is a metaphor, this isn't about martial arts and how to break a board. It's about how to have breakthrough in your life. And if you come up against an issue and you find that maybe it's an issue you've run into, okay, many times. So sometimes we find we hit the same board over and over again. But sometimes what happens, I have found in my life, is when I hit resistance, now I know better, I've been taught better, but in the moment, I don't always do better. Okay, so when I come up, if I feel soft resistance, I'm not as discouraged, okay? So I don't feel as beat down by it, okay? I don't feel as overwhelmed by it, okay? It's not really bothering me. It's sort of like if you're not doing much, the devil's sort of leaving you alone, you know? If the devil's like, well, that guy's not doing anything. He's not sharing about Jesus. He's not on fire for God. Leave him alone. Why would I want to try and push him to get him to react, to respond? Why would I try and cultivate a response or agitate a response from that person? Just leave them alone. Don't give them a whole lot of resistance. You know, it's soft. Oh, yeah, that's not too bad. you can sort of feel that, you know, you feel that resistance, but it's like, oh, that's, yeah, it's an issue, but it's not too bad. It's when you step out and you start to maybe share or get something, get some passion in any area of your life. You get something going, and then that's when you might have some of that stronger resistance. Okay, now you go into that and it's like, I want to go forward on this issue with God. I want to do something. I got a good message. Something's been planted. I've heard that again. It's starting to click. Well, the enemy, what's he going to do as soon as that word gets there? He's going to do what? He's going to try and steal that word away. Why? Because the best time to steal the word away is when it's just been planted, when it's just gotten in there, because it doesn't have roots. It hasn't been established. You don't have now experience to back up why this word is good, why we should continue to cultivate and speak over it and try and help that word get established. It's a great time to steal. But it's the best time also when that resistance comes. It's the, and strong resistance. So you feel and it's like, oh, that's strong. Now get your body in a stance too. This is the other thing is set a stance, boom, like this. Locked out, pushed. So now it's like strong push against it a little bit when I go in. Yeah, it's like boom. I feel that strong resistance. Okay, now, when I recognize that resistance, I have two choices. I can think about it in terms of how am I going to do this? How am I going to break through? I need a breakthrough. I'm doing it. I'm overwhelmed. I look at this guy. I can't. He's got a strong stance. This is a piece of wood against soft flesh. I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. If you've never broken a board before, maybe you've seen someone else do it and you go, well, I don't know how he did that. That's amazing. If you've never done it before, you're going to say, I can't do that. Even though I saw somebody else do it, that might be possible, but you know, this is overwhelming me. This is overwhelming. You have two choices. One is you can avoid it and you can just go, you know what? It's not for me this time around. I'm going to stay on a different path. I'm going to take the path of least resistance. And where does that path lead us? Many times it leads us right back. Now, I was going to have tape down here as like two different courses. So this is one course. This is going on with God. He wants you to go. Okay, and we'll get to that in just a minute. He wants you to go. But many times what I've found is that not many times, I don't want to speak negatively over myself here, but I've done it before, is I've avoided it and said, you know what, I got too many things going on right now. You know what, I'm not going to take this issue on too. It's too many things on my plate. Not this time. I'll come back to it again some other time, okay? So what we do is we take the path of least resistance, you know, go out in the hallway, come back in, and where do we end up? Is we end up back here again to face it. We end up right back here to face it again. It doesn't go away. Many times these are, for me, I've found character issues. These are issues that they don't just go away. God can't erase them from us because we're not willing in the moment of breakthrough to step in and allow where we are weak for him to be strong. And so we avoid it. And then we come back. Guess what happens for me? I've noticed when I come back to an issue again and I see it again, it's almost like there's a mirror here as well. And I go, man, the enemy now has got more ammunition to say to me, yeah, you didn't do it last time either. And now he's got regret. Look how much time you spent now. And you still haven't gotten past this issue. And so he's going to use it again now. And now I've got the confusion or the fog of emotion, potentially, again, regret, feeling defeated. But the best time, even in this moment where we feel like, why am I still dealing with this issue? And you know, you just, why? Why do I keep making the same mistake? Why? It's because in the moment of resistance, we've chosen the path of least resistance. And what we can do is, again, even this metaphor really isn't even do it justice, because we don't even have to break the board. All we have to do, we just have to resist. God has provided us the victory. In our own strength, yes, there is technique and you have to know a certain way to do the break the board. If you came up and just tried to break the board with your fist, you'd probably get injured. And even holding the board, I was going to have Jennifer, my wife, hold it last night and just try it after I baked the board. They said, just hold it really strong. And so I just kind of hit against it a little bit hard. And she said, oh, that kind of hurts my hands. And I said, well, we're not going to do it then, because there's a certain amount of force. But really, for us, when we step in, he says, where you are weak, then I am strong. And so, you know what? Even if you've made the error of not facing it that first time, the best time to resist is now. The best time to resist is now. You can't, because when you look back and go, I should have been past this already. Well, you're not. Here you are. You know, look around, because that's where you are. The best time to resist is now. Faith is now, and the best time to resist is now. So we have to let go. There's a quote. It says that the courage, I'm going to find this, courage is the ability to let go of the past in order to get through to your future. And many times we find ourselves going down this path over and over, coming back to the same issue. Why am I still dealing with this? Ah, here it is again. Yeah. Ah. Coming back and coming back. When we step in, if you step in, now this is your course, okay? We know that this is the course that God wants you to go down. This is our course, right? And we know that we're supposed to stand our ground when you've done all to stand. So sometimes I've thought of it like this. Well, I'm standing my ground means I'm not moving. If I'm standing, I'm not moving. Is that right? That's the literal interpretation. I'm going to stand my ground. I'm not going to move. When really I started to think about those two scriptures together, that's Ephesians 6:13 about stand your ground, having done all to stand, then stand. And then Hebrews says that we have a course to run. Okay? When you put those together, and I'll read that, Hebrews 12:1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders this and sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Your course is your ground. So when I thought about that, like if you're given a race course to run, you could say that course that you've been given is your ground. So if you want to stand your ground, if there's a part of your course, you don't have to stand and wait. Once the enemy has drawn the battle lines, the battle lines have been drawn, we should wake up in the morning ready to take it to the enemy. That's really standing our ground. Our ground is the lost people around us. Our ground is what he's called us to do. That's your ground. So when you think, well, I'm not really feeling any resistance yet, he's trying to do something. You know, there's if you're trying to contain animals, like let's say you have, you know, cows are pretty mild, but there's some animals that if you try and pen them in, they'll find weak points in the fence. They're constantly testing the fence to see where's a weak point to get through, or something trying to get in. Let's say like a wolf trying to get into a pen. They'll find the weak point. They're not going to go to the strong point. They're going to find the weak point and go in. And when you have to be able to think about your ground and find the resistance. Find that and take it to the enemy. He should be, when you step out of the bed in the morning, he should be like, oh man, just go back to bed, please. Please go back to bed. We should have an attitude like, where are you? I'm gonna bully the devil. You know, there's this anti-bullying stuff going on it's obviously there's a good purpose for that. We don't want, you know, people being bullied, intimidated, that's not good. It's been taken to an extreme. I've had parents that call, my son's being bullied. I had a parent call to talk about their son being bullied by this kid. Now, it's kind of gross, but I'm just going to be this kid who, like the kid who eats glue and picks their nose. He was like, I'm like, wait, who? And she's like, well, you know, so-and-so. I don't want to say his name, but just in case. But I said, he's not getting bullied. That's called being annoyed. This is a kid that has few friends. He's one of the smallest kids in class. Now, I'm not saying that it's just size and stuff, but you understand this kid was not a dominant personality. He didn't victimize others. He was a kid that I was concerned about getting bullied. And I had to talk to his mom at conferences. You know, he really shouldn't pick his nose anymore. We got to stop doing that. It's a bad habit. Kids notice it, and it repels kids from him. I'm not trying to be mean, but I got to tell you the truth here is that that's something that's really affecting his his life in class here. Kids see that. It is really gross. It's kind of, this other parent, he's bullying my kid. And I said, that's not bullying. Bullying is where you're being intimidated. You're being dominated. You're afraid. There's, you know, there's more than just, well, I don't like that person. That person's being mean or not being a good friend. No, that's just called being annoyed. That's called not getting along. That's not bullying. And really, we should look at the devil. That's somebody we're going to bully. We don't need to wait for him to throw up obstacles. We should be, as soon as we see him or get any hint of him, or even just to let him know, put him on notice. Brother Hagin used to say that. I declared, and some of our ministers told him, well, Brother Hagin, don't declare about, he was talking about the Asian flu, and they were having meetings, and nobody was coming, and he started declaring, well, I'm not going to get the Asian flu, and they said, oh, don't say that so loud, the devil will hear you. And he said, that's the very one I want to hear me. He needs to know I'm not intimidated by him. He needs to know that if you come, you're going to get a fight, and he knows he's whipped. If he knows you know that, what's the point? So, what are some things, I mean, I was thinking about some classic things that keep me or tempt me to not break through are things like regret. Okay, so I've been sort of get myself thinking of past regrets. Self-doubt. Those are some of the classic things. What are some other things that might keep you from pursuing and breaking through or doing something very uncomfortable in a time when, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be sort of an aha moment. It could be more subtle than that. Is there anything else that kind of keeps us? Regret? So you would agree with regrets?
Oh, I meant guilt.
Sorry. Guilt. Okay, guilt's another one.
Fear.
Fear? Answer. Speaking to you, we say circumstances too. Thank you, Sean. Okay. Grief. I was thinking that too. And now grief can be obviously the loss of a loved one. But you know what? To be honest, that one used to get me many times because I dealt with depression in my young adult life. And I used to look back at that time and just with regret and sort of grieve that period of time when I wasn't doing everything that I thought I could be doing and sort of looked at it as wasted time and grieved it to a certain amount. And thought, you know what, that was a weight that so easily beset me at times. You know, so easily it saps your energy. You know, that's a common symptom of somebody grieving. It's just they don't have energy to go exercise, do anything like that, do anything outside of really focusing on that. So, yeah, that's a good one. All of these things. I mean, just even being comfortable. You know, sort of the comfort of the flesh. You know, just even, it's uncomfortable. You know, it's uncomfortable to think about doing something unfamiliar. This is unfamiliar ground. You know, the path that we've gone on many times, that's familiar. I know what to expect with that. I don't know what to expect when there's breakthrough. When I'm going into new ground, this is a new course with God. It can be a little bit scary and to our flesh. Our flesh doesn't want to do that. Let's just go the easy way. I know that leads you back to this, but right now, you know, it's not so bad. I know I could. See, when you're here, you know you could break through. You kind of go, well, that's good. That's encouraging that I could break through right here. But you know what? I'll do it later. Let's go down this path. And then we come back to it. One more little metaphor, and then we'll do what everybody's waiting for. And Robert's been so patiently standing here for us. Sorry. But have you ever seen at baseball games when they have like little relay races and get people from the stands to come down? And it's kind of a party gag where they take a baseball bat and you bend over and put your head on the baseball bat and you run around it. And then you watch people try and get up and go. Well, I was thinking about, now, you go through one time and you come back and you go, okay, I got to deal with that thing again. And you know what? I'm going to stay with the familiar. I'm going to stay down this path, whether it's, you know, whatever it might be over here that you want to have a breakthrough. I want to have breakthrough. We've prayed about it. We've thought about it. We've been encouraged to just have breakthrough with God. And you go, that's going to take too much. It's too hard. I'm going to just stick with this. But by the time you come around a couple times, now you've got some more, it's some buildup of emotion, some buildup of these things. You've been sort of given power to them because you've given oxygen to them. Where you've put your fuel and your belief and sort of where you hooked up with is some of these things that they might become to where now it's like that person in the office gag or in the halftime show, run around the bat. And now, not only have you not broken through here, but now trying to get through on your path, you're bumping into other people, you're knocking into things, you're not able, and now you get back around and you're like, now look at what I've done. Now you got personal history is getting worse. And so all these things keep building up. So when is the best time to resist? When is the time for breakthrough? Right now. It's never going to get better than right now. So whether you have some things you've done, and we all have them, where, you know, there's areas where we should have done something. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Join the club. It's called the process of growth. It's called the renewing of the mind. But we'll never get past some of these. We can't mature past the things that we won't allow ourselves to break through on. And one way to kind of keep in a place where your heart is in a position, this is a heart issue, your heart is in a position. Because what do you have to do when you decide to do this and you know, by my strength, I can't do this, Lord. Well, this thing you're sort of, I'm feeling led to do, feeling impressed to do, I can't do this. What do you have to do when you decide, I'm going to go in here, and if I ask somebody to come up here and break this board, and I said, you can do it. And I'm going to ask somebody to do that after I break this one because I haven't broken one of these boards yet because I haven't had somebody. The resistance had to be strong enough. And bless her heart, my wife, I didn't trust that she had enough resistance to do this without getting injured. She could do it, but she might have had her wrist bent back and ligaments injured because there's a certain amount of force to break through. It takes a certain amount of energy. It takes a certain amount of commitment. If you don't commit to going through and breaking through, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a lot more than when you commit to breaking through. That's the other thing we can do sometimes. All right, I'm going to try it this time. In the words of Yoda, there is no try. Do or do not. You have to have an attitude of do or do not. Because even if you don't the first time, that attitude will get you through. That attitude will say, I'm not quitting. I didn't get it through the first time. Run at it again. Take another run at it. But if we stop after we go up and go, all right, I'll try. Oh, gosh. Oh, it starts to hurt. Now we're going, this doesn't work. This isn't working. I'm trying. That's the problem. Stop trying and commit. And so, all right, so we might as well now. We got it all built up here. But I'm going to try this. And then you have to trust God enough that you're going to say, you know what? Even if I don't see symptoms abate, I don't care what the symptoms say. I trust you above symptoms. We've had that happen. We prayed. I felt we got the victory. We didn't see the symptoms change. Went to the doctors. My son had an earache. Brought him to the doctor, the Minute Clinic. On the way, I prayed. I got the victory in the car. Still went to the doctor. Had him check it out, make sure what it was. They gave us some medicine. He threw up in the doctor's office. And I still said, I have the victory. I don't care. Throw up. If you're going to throw up, you need to throw up, body. I didn't start to doubt. And that was the moment of breakthrough right there. Because after that, he felt fine. I thought, well, sometimes after you throw up, you feel better. But his symptoms, he said, my ear doesn't hurt anymore. And he told the lady, we went to pick up the medicine at the pharmacy, my ear doesn't hurt anymore because I threw up, you know. And then we got home, and I was kind of monitoring him. Fever, he had a fever. He had an earache, a fever, all stuff. No fever. Fever broke. No earache. We never gave him any of the penicillin. It never came back on him. But he threw up. There were symptoms that said, you know what? Nope, he's not healed. You think you have the victory. He's not healed. And that was the moment for me where the breakthrough happened. That was it. It wasn't when I prayed and got the victory, because that felt good. I was praying. I was built up. Now I'm in the doctor's office. They tell me, yep, his ear's real red. Yep. And he's got a fever. That's an earache. That's an ear infection. You take this penicillin. And so, you know, we're sitting there waiting. He throws up in the garbage can. And okay, so this doesn't look too good, does it? It doesn't look like victory that we can hear about sometimes, where the instant healing, all this manifestation of it. Healing power is what went into his body, not healing manifestation. Healing power went into his body, not manifestation. And when I stayed hooked up with that and just resisting, I didn't get up and start, hey, he's here, I don't care. I didn't have to do any of that. It was an outward sign for someone else. For me inside, I just looked and kind of, this. I didn't laugh at him throwing up, but I was just like, inwardly going, you know what, I have confidence and rest in you and what you've done. So, let's do this. Let's see if, I haven't broken a board now in a long time, so that's, I'm going to break through though. I'm going to break through, like I said. So you got to hold it real strong and lock in your elbows, okay? Yes, that's a really good point. Eliel. The look, can you see any? Bernard, yes. Exacting standards, yes. Yes.
Or whether the board is reinforced.
Very good point. Now, you'll notice I'm not going to hit this. I'm going to hit it to a point where the grain can break this way. If he held it this way. So I'm also going to be wise about how I attack this. Okay? And I'm going to do it with my most powerful weapon, my elbow. Okay? Actually, your elbow, it's a close range weapon, but it's your most powerful. Okay? It's your most powerful. And for a number of reasons. First of all, you have a lot of moving joints here. And to try and have a tight, nice, tight fist and hit it in the place where you don't break your hand, it's a bit of a challenge. But your elbow, it's just an elbow. It's just blunt force. Okay? All right, you ready? Here we go. All right, yep, hold on up here. And I'm going to put my whole body weight into it. I have to commit. If I go like this, it hurts. Not a lot, because I didn't hit it that hard. But if I just go like this, I have to commit. I really have to commit. All right, here we go. Thank you. All right, so thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Is there anyone else? Is there anyone who would like to try it? Come on, one of these young guys up here. All you have to do, it's very simple. All you have to do is commit to it, see yourself, and you want to hit through it. Okay? So you just step. Cedric, what do you think? Eliel? Bernard? No. Anyone? You would have to trust me, wouldn't you? That didn't take that special of a technique. You saw I just threw my weight in and threw my elbow through it. One thing to think about while you're considering whether or not you come up here, and we'll wrap up with this thought. One of the ways to keep your heart in a position to trust God in that moment when you know what, I'm not going to be able to do that. And really, in reality, you don't have to fight the fight. Jesus already, God has enforced their victory for us. But think of it like this. You can have a really, really nice car in the garage. And never take that car. You have a Ferrari, whatever the nicest Ferrari or whatever the nicest car would be, with all the bells and whistles, all the options, all the speed, the engine, everything is just beautiful. This car in the garage. And there's people that do that. They collect cars. They never drive them. But they talk about, they think about what that car can do if it were on the road. Man, this car goes from zero. They can tell you about the car, but they don't ever drive it. What is that car really good for? It's good as an asset, and they can have it if they ever really needed to take it out and drive it. But that's the way the victory is with Jesus. That's the nicest car we can have in the garage, the victory that he won for us at the cross. And one way that we can really believe, is that really for me? To put your heart in a position, I really believe, is through consistent and steady and disciplined giving. Having a heart towards giving. Having a heart, because it says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And this stuff right here is kingdom. This is spirit. These are spiritual issues. They have natural consequences, but they're spiritual issues. These are spiritual issues. And if we want to be kingdom minded, if we want to have an increase in our righteousness, if we want to have breakthrough, if we want to be able to stand our ground, that course that he set before us, but we're going to try and do it without having without putting our heart, our treasure, where we want our heart to go. Because when we're going down the wrong path and we're walking away from that opportunity to break through, that opportunity also to glorify God in a breakthrough, our heart's going to tug at us because we put our treasure down that way. Now you get along here, it's kind of like on a leash. You know, your heart's going, wait, wait. You're going, yeah, I should probably get back. Wait, wait, don't go down that path. Don't keep going. Just wait. Come back here. You've kind of thrown your, you think about if you had like a leash attached to your wallet or to your finance, you're throwing that in a place that's, you're tethered to it now. So you're having to check quicker. You have an opportunity to stop on this path. You don't have to go all the way out, all the way around, avoiding an opportunity for breakthrough. You can, you start down on that path, you go, wait a second, you know what, let's go back to this. I might need to talk through it with a friend, I might need to talk through it with a pastor, I might need some counseling through this, but I'm going to break through on this. And really, like Brother Hagin used to say, if you don't get it for yourself, I can't do it for you. I mean, there's ways that we need people to help us, and I tap into that. But there's a point where we're the ones, nobody else can step up to that obstacle and break through it except us. But the great thing is, once we choose to step up and commit, and again, it's much easier to commit to those types of things when we've committed to giving. Because giving is an operative, it's a little test every time. The resistance of our flesh is immediate. Everybody gets that check when you're giving, when we think about stretching in your giving. That check comes to everybody. The check, I mean the obstacle, like, wait, you need that. You need that, but we need this more. This is eternal matters. This is the course that God has set before us. And I'm not saying you can just give your way into heaven. That's not the issue. It's the give your way into putting your heart in a position. You know, it says guard your heart. How do you guard something? If you have a really beautiful car, would you go park it in a bad part of town and leave it there overnight? What would happen to that car? It'd be up on cinder blocks, stripped down, or it would be gone. You wouldn't put your heart in that position either. You put your heart in a position to believe, your heart in a position to be guarded from those things, the fear, the regret. So when it comes, it's sort of like Teflon. It just goes off of you. And again, committing to something like that, when you've already done it with, if you haven't done it with the least things, it's going to be very hard against things that seem bigger if you haven't been doing it with the least of these. But thank God when we step forward, he said he's going to provide seed to us. There's a lot of promises that go along with that. So we have everything we need from him to provide. We have everything we need from him to break through. But there's steps along the way that we can do to put ourselves in a position to trust God to do it. And even to recognize sometimes where there's resistance and then what to do. How do I step forward? How do I commit?